As much as I seek to avoid politics from the pulpit, this morning I'm going to talk about superdelegates. Now, you don't really need to know what a superdelegate is. What it is, essentially, is a contradiction of democracy. In the following way, in theory, one person, one vote means everybody gets an equal vote for who leads us. But then, in the Democratic Party, there are people who get more than one vote. And at first, that strikes us as counterintuitive. Why should someone count more in the choice of a candidate? But actually, it's always true. Democracy, in any institution, country, organization, is based on a little bit of a myth. And here's the myth: that the person who doesn't care and the person who does care have an equal voice. Superdelegates are people who are more involved in the process. And people who are more involved in the process count more, matter more, are listened to more, because the world acknowledges, recognizes, honors, and rewards passion. And if you are a passionless bystander in the world, and then all of a sudden you open your mouth to raise your voice, you can expect that the world will not listen to you the way it will to the person who has been passionate. When David danced with the Torah, when Moses broke the tablets, when Abraham argued with God, they counted more than at other times. We remember these moments because they're moments of passion. And whether it is politics or it is faith, the enemy of goodness in this world is indifference. If you're calloused, if you're distant, if, in terms we used before, your spirit has no song, or if it does, if you hold it down and you never sing it, and you never express yourself, and you lack passion, and you don't have the fire that ignites the blood when something important is at stake, then you will not be listened to, and you don't deserve to be listened to. If you look out at God's world and it leaves you cold, then you have a sickness of the spirit. But if you move yourself, then you can move the world. Abraham Joshua Heschel used to love to tell the story of the blacksmith who didn't get any business in his town, and he went to the master blacksmith and he said, "I want to learn from you. Teach me how to make things so that people will come to me and they'll buy my products and I'll be able to make a living." And the blacksmith spent months teaching him how to bend the metal and how to shape it and how to fit it to the horse. And at the end of it, he said, "You know, I've taught you everything I know, but you are still not ready." And the apprentice said, "Why? What am I lacking?" And the blacksmith said, "You don't know how to kindle a spark. And if you don't have the spark, you don't have the fire. And if you don't have the fire, then your spirit is cold." We're handing out seeds today, packets of seeds, because we want to encourage people to make something grow. Because we remember the Talmudic tradition that behind every blade of grass in the world, there is an angel that whispers, "Grow." Because we want people to expand, to see more, to experience more, things they haven't seen before, and to grow, to ignite some corner of the soul that will change you. We've been talking now for a couple months about going to the AIPAC conference in Washington. And many people have joined. We have already over 100 people, but some people are indifferent. They won't raise their voice, even though this is an election year and this is your chance to be essentially a Jewish superdelegate, to have passion, to make a change, to see something grow. We have classes, we have activities. There are more organizations in this city and in this world and in this synagogue than you could expand yourself on in a lifetime, but you could also just sit home and watch television and make nothing grow. What does God want? There are no words that I could use that are more eloquent than the poem of the Yiddish poet Aaron Zeitlin. And when I read you this poem, I want you to remember something about Aaron Zeitlin. He lost his entire family in the Holocaust. If ever someone had the right to have their spirit deadened, it was Zeitlin. But this is his poem. "Praise me, says God, and I will know that you love me. Curse me, says God, and I will know that you love me. Praise me or curse me, and I'll know that you love me. Sing out my graces, says God. Raise your fist against me. And revile, says God. Sing out graces or revile. Reviling is also a kind of praise, says God. But if you sit fenced off in your apathy, says God, if you sit entrenched in I don't care, if you look at the stars and yawn, if you see suffering and don't cry out, if you don't praise and you don't curse, then I created you in vain, says God. So you have to ask yourself this morning, as every morning, what ignites your passion? And not just your passion for your own life, not just your passion for your family, but what ignites your passion beyond you? What do you care about in this world? What will you change? What will you grow? What will you leave behind? And that's the other reason we give out seeds this morning, because of that Talmudic story of a man who is walking along and he sees an old man planting a tree. And he says, "Why are you planting that tree? You'll never live to see it bear fruit." And the man says, "My ancestors planted for me, and I plant for my children." What will you plant? What will you grow? About what do you care? Because if you care, says God, then I will know that you love me. Shabbat shalom.